fugitive must be a rolling stone. Down every road there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home.
And here in Radio Land, there is always one more episode to discuss when you're discussing The Fugitive. Talking Fugitive with Kitty and Bobby and Ken, back on for another in-depth analysis. This week, we're going to be discussing, as if I know anything about this, we're going to be discussing an episode called Nemesis. If you wish to join in live, you can do so, 800-407-KSAV. If you want to email during the program, talk@ksav.org. All right, I'm tired of every week the same old Bobby Near, Bobby Near, Bobby Near. Kitty, you start things tonight.
Okay, thanks. Well, this episode is one of the first ones in Season 2, and it's really kind of... It's kind of one of those few episodes where we actually see a little bit of continuity. We were first introduced to Gerard having a family back way, way back in episode 4 called Never Wave Goodbye, and we saw that he had a young son in that episode who couldn't understand why his dad couldn't take him fishing. And here we are now at the beginning of season 2, and we see Phil Sr. with Phil Jr., played by a very, very young Kurt Russell, and he's still lamenting to his dad as to why he can't take him fishing. And so there's a plot point that has at least been consistent with Phil Sr. And this kind of it's a very different episode. And it was very well liked by most of the people on the board, myself and Ken included. We start out seeing Phil and Phil Jr. in the car, and Phil calls in to check in and discovers that he's in the vicinity of Richard Kimball. And we got him going to the place where Richard Kimball has been employed. He's been driving a truck, and through various circumstances, Kimball sees Gerard. He jumps into a car, and he just happens to jump into the car where Phil Jr. decided to hide out in. And henceforth, we then see Richard Kimball on a little adventure with Phil Gerard Jr. As if Phil Sr. wasn't bad enough, we've got young Phil Jr. making Richard Kimball's life a little miserable, to put it bluntly. Now, why Richard Kimball doesn't just stop the car and tell Phil Jr. to get out of the car right at the beginning when he discovers him is really kind of a mystery, because I don't think he was that far away, but it makes for an interesting episode. And I think Kurt Russell, when you watch him in this episode, you can see why Kurt Russell went on to become a successful actor as an adult. He really, I thought, held his own with his scenes with both David Jansen and Barry Morse. And I found it to be a very interesting episode. Phil Jr. is trying to leave little clues behind to let his dad know where he's at, and he's got Richard Kimball, you know, having to thwart all these things. Overall, I ended up giving it a 10 rating because I thought that it pretty well delivered on everything it was trying to do. We had some suspense. We had tense moments, and you know, we had a scene where they spend the night in the woods, and then they're discovered by some kind of a trapper who seems to be a little off the beaten track mentally, and you know, and then when Kimball makes a break for it, Phil tries to chase him, and Phil Jr. ends up getting his foot caught in a trap, and so Kimball goes back and rescues him from that. And in the end, Phil Jr. still tells his dad which direction he went, but Phil Jr., it seems, might have had a few reservations on whether or not Kimball actually did the crime or not. But I liked it. Ken, what did you think of it? I think you ranked it pretty high in your rating, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I don't think it's a classic, but I did give it a 10 rating because, like you said, in season two, this is the fifth episode of season two, and I was getting a little frustrated because we had Man in a Chariot, then World's End, Man on a String, and When the Bow Breaks. And I said, what's going on? I mean, aren't we watching The Fugitive? But when we got to Nemesis, I right away was interested. You know, you have the little chase scene in the beginning. Kimball's working, and he's always keeping an eye over his shoulder. And a car pulls up, and what do you know? Some cops are in there. And the music is good. It gives you that little serene music, dun, 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 dun. And Kimball's on the run. So he hops into a car, takes off into the woods. And what do you know, Phil Jr. is hiding in the back. So I think we need to charge Lieutenant Philip Gerard with negligence for leaving his son unattended, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if anything, Marie Gerard should have just been furious with him when he got home and heard the whole story.
This would have been an ideal episode to introduce us, maybe with a phone call to Marie Gerard, and she doesn't need to be in the whole episode, but maybe, you know, give us a little teaser, a little conversation, so we know that Gerard has a wife. But anyway, the story I thought was well written. You know, you have a chase, then you have a dilemma, and you're right, Kurt Russell. He was the star of this episode, and he's not dysfunctional like we've seen some other kids.
No, he was very smart. You know, he was definitely his father's son. You know, he was very good at thinking on his feet.
I think most
kids, if they realize they were in a car with someone who's been convicted with murder, might just completely freak out. But
yeah.
But, you know, Phil Jr. certainly kept his head through the whole thing.
What I liked was he was an all-American boy, really, and didn't seem to have any psychological problems like that girl in episode two, The Witch. Oh, I was so frustrated with that one. You know, that was a kid's story, too, focusing on the girl and Kimball's hiding in the lake. I thought that was an awful story. But when we got to this one, you know, it kept my interest. And, you know, hey, what's going to happen? You know, Kimball's got Phil Jr., and he's talking with him, and he, you know, I guess they have a little, you know, Phil Jr. is kind of doing a little sneaky things, you know, with the light. And some other things you mentioned.
Initially he starts by throwing his baseball cards out the window.
I think it was football cards or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was some kind of sports cards.
Right.
He's throwing out the window.
That was pretty clever.
Yeah, and then there was the other scene where he left his sweatshirt or sweater behind and kind of pointed it in the direction that they were heading. That's certainly something that not an average kid would think of, I don't think.
Yeah. So he was kind of a smart kid, and then you kind of wonder through the whole episode, you know, how is it going to play out? And I think Bob mentioned in his review that he would like to have seen Gerard Sr. and then Gerard Jr. and Kimball and have all three of them kind of have a face-to-face, and I agree. That would have been a good ending. So the ending was a little, you know, not as big as it should have been. But all in all, I did give it a 10 rating, and I agreed with your review on this, that I thought it was a well-written story. You had to watch it from beginning to end. You know, I didn't fall asleep. And, you know, and then at the end, Kimball goes one way, and Junior says, well, he went that way, and...
Right, but he's not trying to do a decoy with his dad because he really did let let Phil Jr. see which direction he went, and then he circled back when he wasn't looking and went the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then, of course, we have kind of a funny touch at the end where Kimball actually mailed Phil Jr. some cards. I thought that was kind of a little unnecessary. In fact, it reminded me of that episode Bloodline where he sent the dog tag to the dog owner.
I think they're just making Kimball a really nice guy, and you know he's a white knight, and he's kind of like an angel, and nothing's wrong with him. And I agree, they don't need to prop up Kimball like that in this series. So. But anyway, not a bad story.
Yeah. So Bob, tell us what you didn't like about it, or maybe start by saying what you did like about it, and then tell us what you didn't like.
Oh, you guys make it too easy on me. I need more of a challenge than this to stay awake for 30 minutes. Well, this is a perfect example of how what looks good on paper does not necessarily look good on film. This episode is really quite disappointing, quite boring, because it's all premise and nothing else. The writer does absolutely nothing with it whatsoever. Simply believes that he can put Kimball and Gerard's son in the woods together, and that's enough. And it's not enough. It's never enough to do a thing like that. And let me tell you, you compare this. Now, of course, this comes before Landscape. But if you compare this to Landscape, which is the other show, the other episode that deals with the Gerard's family, and compare the two, it's absolutely pitiful. This one gets blown out of the water. And this is exactly why Landscape is such a better story, because it's so much deeper, and because you have much more interesting character in Gerard's wife than you do in his son. First of all, let's start at the beginning. The first problem I have with this episode is that it's miscast. You got the wrong kid in there. You got Kurt Russell in there. I've been watching Kurt Russell all my life. He turned 56 years old this year in March. I went to IMDb, and he's been acting for about 44 years. I mean, he and Ron Howard are the ultimate kid actors. And I've always liked Kurt Russell. He's done well in everything, everything from Disney movies to when he played Elvis in that very famous TV movie that was really excellent. And so I have no problem with Kurt Russell himself. But he doesn't belong in this episode. You go to IMDb and look at over 80 screen credits for him, you're going to have a hard time finding any time at all in which he played a bad guy. I mean, he's just like Ron Howard. The two of them have never played anybody really evil. That's just not their careers. It's just not in them to do that. And so what you have here is somebody who is anything but Gerard's son. Please take notes that in Landscape, Marie is really impossible. From beginning to end, she is out to trap Kimball and send him to death row. She couldn't care less whether he's guilty or not. It's irrelevant. It's not about that. It's about the effect that he's had on her life. In this episode, the whole big deal is supposed to be, does the kid really believe that Kimball's guilty, like his father's been telling him? And is there any question in his mind now? And I really don't care, because that simply ruins the story. I wanted a kid in there that was just like Daddy. And this is, I mean, Ken's right when he says he's an all-American boy, and that's the problem. He's an all-American boy. He's collecting football cards. By the way, it is football. Johnny Unitas was a football player, I believe. Not a baseball player. And he's collecting football cards. He's extraordinarily respectful to his father. Oh, just, I mean, it's wonderful. We see them in the car, and is there any resentment on the part of Phil Jr. over the fact that his father never takes him anywhere like he's promised him, the way it is with his mother? No, not at all.
Well, I got the impression that he was disappointed with his dad, and, I mean, I thought that he thought Kimball was guilty, because why else would he be throwing football cards out the window to try to tell everybody where he was?
Well, remember, they were trading cards, and he might have been just trying to swap them with somebody in the next vehicle. We got to take a quick time out. We'll come back, talk more trading cards, whether it was a Johnny Unitas rookie card or just how valuable they really were. Talking Fugitive back in a minute on Retro Radio.
I'm Dave White, and with me today are Dr. Phil.
Hello.
Homer Simpson, and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning.
These guys are here to help me tell you about my program, Talkin' Television with Dave White on KSAV.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Every Tuesday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, we have a fun discussion of television past and present.
Is that the truth or a lie?
What do you guys think of my program?
A load of crap.
Boring.
Outrageous.
And what about my co-host, television guru Tim Carmody?
The drunk pimp.
Jerkass!
But don't take their word for it. Tune in and join in every Tuesday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time on KSAV.
All right, we're back for part two of the discussion of Nemesis, Talking Fugitive. And to pick up where I so rudely interrupted, let's go with Bobby Neer.
Thanks, Dave. Here we are in the middle of July of 2007, and next month in August are two very important anniversaries. One of them has absolutely nothing to do with what we talk about here, and the other one has everything to do with what we talk about here. On the 16th of August, it will be the 30th anniversary of the death of Elvis. And can you imagine? It's been 30 years. 30 years. How long is 30 years? 30 years is so long that even Dave White was a young man back then.
Don't be too sure.
Well, I'm not so sure. And then on August the 22nd will be the 40th anniversary of what Fugitive fans know as the Day the Running Stopped. And that was 1967 when the Fugitive began to present its final two episodes that ended the series. Now, of course, you know, as we all know, Richard Kimball was exonerated at the end and walked away a free man. And The Fugitive was the first program to ever have a running story that actually was ended. And the way it looked back then was that that was the end of it. It was a great show. We all enjoyed it. And it was a great ending. Everything was fine. But you're never going to see it again. Well, as it went into syndication, it was never going to come back because the story is over. Well, in Hollywood, nothing is really over, even though it may look that way. In 1993, The Fugitive comes back as a feature film with somebody in it named Harrison Ford. I never heard of the guy. And in the year 2000, The Fugitive comes back again on TV with actor Tim Daly. And Tim Daly, isn't he the guy from the comedy show Wings? How bizarre. I mean, what did they do? Turn my show into a sitcom? It's pretty weird. The show comes back even though there's no chance of it coming back. And 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be back with a show we're calling The Three Faces of Richard Kimball. Over the years since 1967, three different actors have portrayed Richard Kimball. We're going to consider who got it right, who got it wrong, and maybe they all got it right, except they did it in different ways. We're going to take a look at that 2 weeks from tonight, The Three Faces of Richard Kimball. But tonight, we're stuck in the woods with Phil Gerard Jr. and Richard Kimball. And we're wondering why this episode is not quite as exciting as it ought to be. I mean, the premise is fantastic. The premise is great. Sure, it's wonderful. Gerard should be frantic about his son being with Richard Kimball. The kid should be scared to death. But he's really not scared to death. And that's what I'm talking about. This episode lacks the kind of edge that Landscape had. Please remember that in Landscape, Phil Gerard was just so frantic he couldn't concentrate on anything. He didn't know where his wife went. He didn't even know that his wife was with Richard Kimball. He was already couldn't concentrate on anything, couldn't concentrate on going after Kimball. And now in this early episode in season two, his son is missing, and he actually knows he's with Richard Kimball, and he doesn't appear to be that concerned. He even tells the sheriff at one point, oh, that's all right. I know Kimball. He'll feed the boy, and he'll take care of him. Well, you know what? If it's not that serious, then why should I even worry about it? And that's the problem with this episode. There's no edge to it. I never feel any danger about anything. If Senior doesn't feel it, then you can bet I'm not going to. And it lacks all the way. There are some good scenes in it. Look, it's a well-done story. I gave it a 6 in the ratings, which is slightly above average. I'm not complaining about any of that. But when you have a premise like this, you're really obligated to do something with it, and the writer just doesn't do anything with it. He seems to think it's just enough that he's in the woods. I mean, this is called Nemesis. I don't know why. It should be called Fun with Dick and Junior is what it should be called, because there's nothing going on in the woods. Because, first of all, It's a nice scene at the beginning when all of a sudden Junior shows up in the back of the car, he pops his head up, and then he says, I'm Phil. Phil Gerard Jr., right before the commercial break. He gives David Jansen a chance to do one of his patented double takes. It's great. But it really ruins the suspense. In Landscape, Richard Kimmel doesn't find out until he's with Marie Gerard, almost at the end of the story. And we're sitting there wondering what in the world's going to happen when he finds out who he's really with. In Nemesis, he knows right away, so it's no big deal. What do I think? I think she kicked him out of the car right away. You're Richard Kimmel, your life is on the line, you haven't got time to play nursemaid to this kid. You simply say, turn around in the car and you say to him, you're who? Phil Gerard Jr.? The Phil Gerard, the lunatic that's been traveling, chasing me around the country? Get out. I don't care. Find your way home. You're on your own, kid, and that's it. Tell me how wrong I am. Go ahead.
No. I mean, it's true. I must admit that when I watched it, I did kind of wonder about that, why Richard Kimmel wouldn't just stop the car and open the door and say, okay, get out and walk back, just follow the road. Because it doesn't really seem like he'd been driving for that far. And even if he had been driving that far, he could have always dropped him off at a phone booth or something.
Well, halfway through the episode, after Junior lights a fire so that they can be found, in the middle of the night yet, Kimball packs up his stuff. He says, I'm out of here. I'm leaving you here. And the kid goes, no, I'm afraid of the dark. Don't leave me alone. Two things wrong with that. First of all, so Kimball says to him, well, you did a fire. They'll know that you're here, and they'll find you soon. I'm leaving. Well, you know what? If you could leave him alone then you could have, because it's in the middle of the night, then you certainly could have left him alone at the beginning of the episode when you hadn't even driven that far, and it was broad daylight. And plus, all of a sudden, I mean, what is it with the kids? Is he brave? Is he brave? All of a sudden he gets scared. He goes, oh, no, don't leave me alone in the dark. I've always been afraid of the dark. I mean, it's so contrived. It's just ridiculous. I mean, there's no real edge to it. There's no real fear about anything. And that, for me, is what's missing in this story. Everything that was in Landscape is not in this. And I agree with the things that Ken said at the beginning. First of all, you had a great... of course, they didn't know that there was going to be a Landscape with running figures. You can't hold that against them. But here's a great chance to bring Marie Gerard into the story. Then Landscape would have been even better because she would have reminded him, first it was the kid, now it's me. Nothing goes on. If I remember correctly, Gerard doesn't even call home to inform his wife that their child has been kidnapped by Richard Kimmel. Don't you think she's entitled to know? I mean, he doesn't even tell her. He just does it all on his own. And then at the end of the episode, like Ken pointed out, this business about there's no confrontation whatsoever. No confrontation at all between Kimmel, Gerard, and the kid, where perhaps Kimmel is holding the kid hostage as a way of ensuring that he gets away. I don't know. I guess the writer couldn't figure out how to use it and make everybody look good. So instead he has this kind of extremely weak ending in which a Junior gets caught in a trap. I don't know why there's traps around in the woods. The woods are extremely benign looking. There's no animals anywhere. So he doesn't seem to be any down. I don't see any bears around.
Because the traps were so effective.
Well, maybe that's it. So I don't see anything going on here to really worry about this kid. He certainly couldn't have been left alone. And then at the end of it, I appreciated the fact that Junior did indeed tell his father exactly where Kimball had run off to. But the fact of the matter is, there should have been a different actor in there. I wanted the kid, basically, my basic complaint is, I wanted the kid to be just as bad as Gerard was. In Landscape, Marie is just as bad as her husband is in her efforts to trap Kimball. And that's what made the difference for me. I don't want this business about wondering whether he's really innocent. Oh, maybe he is. One more thing, and then I'll stop whining. At the very early in the episode, when they're first in the car, and Kimmel tells Phil Jr., he says that he didn't kill his wife. The Jr. says to him, "My dad says you did." Oh, that's great. You know what? What a great moment. What should he have said? He should have used his father's old line. He should have said, "The law says you did. My dad enforces the law."
Yeah.
At which time Kimball would have given him a look like he was going to kill him, as if to say, "I can't believe he's a chip off the old blockhead. He's just as bad as his father was." So that's the problem. Give me another kid. Give me somebody. I wanted somebody to be as relentless and as determined as Phil Gerard is, and they just didn't do it. And you even have a great character actor in the middle of the story, Slim Pickens, who has a few cute lines, you know, when he's a hunter and comes across them. But he doesn't do anything either. And they have a game warden come in, and Kimball knocks him out with one punch. It's just standard fugitive, no edge, no fear, no nothing. Go ahead, Ken, tell me.
I'll take this episode, though, over The Witch, Storm Center.
Well, I'm not arguing with that. Okay.
Garden,
but think of the premise. The premise is too good for this.
But I think you're wrong in a couple aspects here.
Oh, go ahead.
I think this episode does touch what the Fugitive series is all about.
Really?
Now, other episodes strayed off course. I mean, The Witch, the episode number 2 in the series, and you have a dysfunctional girl with her doll and Kimball hiding in a lake. Absolutely just awful. And then we're thrown all over the map in season 1. We get classics, you know, Never Wave Goodbye, Nightmare at North Oak. We get really good stories, and then we get kidnappings, and then we get this and that.
We got 120 episodes to cover.
Yeah. Well, and then in season 2, you know, you get a story where you're touching the pursuer's family. You know, Kimball or Gerard is the pursuer after Kimball, and now you're getting into Gerard's family. So it did touch a nerve. You know, in season 1, we got a little taste of Gerard's family with the wife in episode 4. You know, he talks to her or whatever. And then we do see a little boy there. And so, then we realize, hey, Gerard has a family. So then in season 2, we get this dilemma. And you know what I would have done? I would have added a Gerard's daughter, and I would have the two. And I agree with you. The son should have been real mean, just like the dad. But the daughter would have had a soft spot for Kimball. And you could have had a dilemma there, and
well,
so have both
me.
Of them.
All right.
And then I agree with you, Bob. There should have been a confrontation at the end, and Gerard has to make a choice. You know, does he stick with the kids, his kids, or does he go after Kimball, who's running off into the woods or whatever?
Okay, 1 minute.
Okay, so what I wanted to say is, for me, as a viewing, you know, member watching the TV series each week, this episode got into what The Fugitive is about, because we see Gerard's family, and it kept my interest, because I was thrown all over the map, especially with the awful Storm Center at the end of season 1, and then season 2, you know, I'm getting into the story plot. You know, this is a 4-year story that's being told. Kimball's running all over the place. Kitty, go ahead, jump in.
Oh, well, I thought you guys pretty much covered all of it.
I'll give you the last word.
Well, no, I mean, I think that the story certainly could have gone in a different direction, but I think for the story the way it was, I didn't have any real big complaints about it. You know, in hindsight, you know, and I watched this before I ever saw Landscape. So, I mean, for me, this is like watching something brand new. And so I didn't have the Landscape aspect to compare it to.
All right. In 2 weeks, on July 31st, we'll be back for the Three Faces of Richard Kimball. And I hope all of you will be back and join the trio of experts when we return to talk more Fugitive here on Sherevision Radio. Running on.